We appreciate you for being here today. We're excited about the Lord and His goodness. We've been in a kind of a series. We started this just off of another part that we would do, another section that we were going through dealing with the glory of God. And so we're going to continue. This is the final portion of it. I guess this has been going on for some 4 or 5 weeks now. But this is going to kind of bring us to a close today on this portion of it. And we'll continue what we've been doing. But we've been dealing with the wonder of God's glory and understanding that. Understanding the wonder of God's glory and how does that fit in our life? How we're supposed to approach the wonder of God. And when you think about all the attributes of God, and there's a clear distinction. Again, when I refer to God, we're dealing with the word Elohim. The Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created. So we see that the word bara there again is dealing with something being done. And it's done by what He says. So there's a lot of power in what God says. So we went over all of these things. And of course, where we are now dealing with this particular subject, I would hope that you've come to understand the importance of the issue of grabbing hold to God's glory. Understanding that there's a clear distinction between how we approach Him and what we say about Him, how we praise Him, how we worship Him. There's no one should receive more praise, more honor, and more glory than the Most High. That has to be something that we see. We grab hold to it. It becomes real to us. Now, the song that we ended with here, there's such a powerful message in that song. So many truths there. And He wants to be all those things. He wants to be the great I am. And He also wants to be the great I am when we're not going through those issues. So it's knowing who God is before those issues start that makes you have the understanding to sing that song. When you're going through it, you need to go to the great I am. How many know He has to be the first one you go to? Because there are going to be all sorts of ideas. There's lots of opinions. But there's only one who can calm the sea. How many understand that? And He does that. He gave us those directions or showed us that through His only Son, our Savior, that we should honor and we give praise to for what He's done. That's the, and of course, understanding that our Mashiach, our Messiah, the anointed one that was established and given for all of us. How many thank God for that? So we're going to continue where we left off. I did bounce down. I missed, I don't know how many slides it was, but I skipped them. I asked you to go over them because they were related to the portions, last tour portion for last week. And hopefully you read that dealing with Jacob and Esau. He said, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. And he kind of went through some understanding. So if you were here for last tour portion, I basically covered some of those scripture there in the Romans account. So let's start today where we left off last week. Yahweh is the center of the universe. Yahweh is the center of the universe, and He causes all things to work together for our good and for His glory. Remember that, for His glory. So there are different types of glory that we see in Scripture, different types. One, if we look at, and we said this last week, but it's the Shekinah or the Shekinah. However way you would like to pronounce it, it's pronounced both ways. But the Shekinah glory is the brilliance or the brightness of how God expresses Himself. We see it throughout the text, and especially in the Tanakh. We see it through the Old Testament, how He expresses Himself. The brightness of God. Now, let me say, why is that important today? Because everybody has an idea about God. That idea has been, you learn that idea, whether you was in church, Sunday school, by your own reading, or what somebody else said, and you keep that idea and kind of puts an impression on you. So when the name is used, you don't go past what your thoughts of God is. You don't go past that. And if the whatever you think about God or you define God, that's the source of the power that you're going to have working on your behalf when you come up against some trouble. When you reach some difficulty, you're going to believe that the source that's coming to you is based upon your knowledge of who God is. But the Bible, throughout the pages, describes God. It gives description of who He is. It shows that God's glory is underived. What does that mean, to be underived? Because there's God's glory, nobody gave God His glory. It's underived. But yet we see in our Yeshua, the Messiah, His glory was a given glory. Means it came from somewhere. There's a source. God's glory, there was no source to give God His glory. It's underived. But we see in Yeshua, His glory given by God. So think about the glory we give God. The word glory in the New Testament is doxa. It's glory we give God. It's given, it's recognizing a person for who they are. How many feel like when you worship, you recognize a God for who He is? Well, that'd be a difficult thing to do if we don't know who He is. What are His attributes? The one, that's why we titled this, The Wonder of God. Digging deep and finding out what are those things. And so we can give God the proper praise He deserves. We're giving Him the praise that the honor He deserves. Then there's another term for glory. It's the kabod. The word kabod is it literally means the weight. And you may have heard this phrase a time or two in conversation, or you've heard people give you heard their conversation, where they say that person carries a lot of weight. What do they mean when they say that? Well, in English, we understand just by the way we have been brought up, we're saying that that person is able to make decisions that can ultimately change things for you and whoever they work for. So if they're a CEO of a company, they carry a lot of weight. I gave an example last week. If you have a supervisor kind of running things while the CEO is not there, the supervisor has some ideas, and he might have a list of things that he was given from the CEO, but he's going to take charge and kind of run things kind of his way. He's going to add in some of his personal touch to it. And over a period of time, your personal touch can be laxed, and you don't follow the rules exactly because you're running it, so you can kind of add in here and there. Happens on jobs all the time. Well, then you get a call that the CEO's coming. Well, guess what the supervisor does? He calls everybody in and says, "Hey, guys, we got to clean up." Why you got to clean up? Because if you'd have followed the rules from the beginning, don't clean up because the man who's got a lot of weight's coming. See? So when we say, we use the word kabod, we're talking about God's glory. Now, God carries a lot of weight. It literally means the weightiness of God. God's reputation, His attributes. So, what is your thoughts of how much weight God has when it comes to your life? What position you give Him? What authority do you give Him? Does it even matter? Does it matter when it comes to God in your life? This is personal, your life. Where does God fit on your scale? Because where He fits on my scale has no bearing on you whatsoever. Because this is, remember, serving God is not about us giving, the group comes together and we all shout hallelujah. We can do that, and that's fun. But your position with God is not based upon how loud the group shouts. Your position in God is based upon how much weight you give Him. Where does He stand in your life? How much weight does it, is when you know that you're in His presence, or you're talking to Him or reading His word, does that move and shake your heart that you have such a deep respect that you want to honor Him? You want to listen to what He says? How many, there have been times when God's trying to tell us something, but we're not listening. It'd be like the supervisor saying, hey, you need to go do that. Well, I ain't going to do it. You know, then you kind of bring this, you want to be on the same level. But when the CEO comes in, he says, okay, because he can fire the supervisor. And if he can fire the supervisor, you've been going. See, what level you give God is going to be important. Because if you don't recognize God for who he is, then when you call upon him in your greatest need, in your greatest need, I'm talking about when things are going bad, is he the great I am? We want him to be great I am when that happens. But is he the great I am right now? Think about that. Because whatever God is to you before the crisis, that's the God that's going to show up in the crisis. That's as far as your faith can go. You can get everybody else to pray, but your faith won't go no further. Because he ain't never been that to you. That's why we must study the scripture. We have to dive into the text. We have to say, Lord, I want to know who you are. I seek you and want to know all about you. And that's our goal today. So I'm going to take you on a journey through some scripture, and we're going to learn more about him. This is the final part of it. So we've been doing this for, again, like 4 or 5 weeks, so there's a lot of stuff been said. I don't know how many scripture I gave, but there was a lot of them in this particular portion. And so hopefully you'll come to some clarity as we go on. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that all things, everybody say all things, because that's important. All things work together for good to them that love Elohim. For good to them that love Elohim. Now in English, what we would say there is God. There's a good reason why I want people to also know it in the Hebrew language, Elohim, because Elohim carries with it the majesty we give him. It's all about glory. What glory we give God. It's all about that. That's why we must know that. Because we can get gods or God mixed up in a multitude of gods and be fighting or battling this polytheism. But what we're talking about is one God. One God who has, when it comes to majesty, the term we use is Elohim. Because it's hard to get our mind wrapped around how amazing he is. How incredible he is. I mean, what other God that you know of in history? And it is history. It's not taught in our schools, but it should be. But there's a fear because if we teach one, we got to teach them all. I'm all for that. Teach it all. Because truth prevails. Truth wins. So you don't have to be afraid of truth. If it's true, it's going to be fine. But the lie, eventually, is going to be found out. And we can live one. Eventually, it'll be found out. But truth sets you free. And if I'm in bondage by anything, even my own ideas, I could be in bondage to my own ideas. I can believe something so strongly that I fail to see what's reality. And I can be in bondage. So what I want is I want the truth. Because that's what sets us free from any bondage, whether it's our own ideas or not. And I can tell you, from my experience, I was in bondage to a lot of my own ideas. And where we fail many times is we won't confess our fault. We were afraid to do that because we think it makes us look small, makes us look weak. What I believe it does, it makes people see that you're willing to follow Scripture, that if there is a wrong, we have to confess that wrong to one another so God can come and then do what he needs to do in our life to bring about wholeness. I want wholeness. I don't want to find out one day when I can know today. How many want to know today? So what happens? Our churches open all over on a Sunday. People come and sit down in them. And it's like, you know, what can I get from that particular service? What does God have for me? Well, my goal today is to teach you in the Scripture. No matter if you're here or somewhere else, you're going to know more about God when you leave here. You're going to understand some things and some attributes about who he is, and that's important. I want you to learn in the scripture. He said, all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose. Remember, our call is according to his purpose. We talked a little bit about that last night, the Torah portion. Let me tell you, sometimes we don't realize that God's working things out for us because it didn't come the way we wanted it. And last night I talked about Jacob. He wanted Rachel, but he got Leah. And sometimes we go, you know, that's crazy, God. Why would he get, you know, poor Jacob? Not poor Jacob. It's thank God. See, we want to see the downside to the dilemma and don't realize what God's doing. He's going to use a dilemma to get you closer to him. And when you get closer to him, better for you and I. He's not out to hurt us. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's not to hurt you. But he has something, he has an expectation about you that many times we never clearly see. So our expectation, we sell ourselves short. He said, you want Rachel, but I'm going to give you Leah because Leah's going to bring Judah and Levi. How many know Judah and Levi are significant in Scripture? That came from Leah, not his Rachel. He gets his Rachel. But sometimes you can want your Rachel so bad, you don't even see the hand of God trying to do something in your life. You're trying to avoid what you believe is a trick when the whole time it's the sovereign hand of God. That's why we got to know. You think the devil's tricking you and it's God's trying to move you in a direction so you can be all that. What he wants you to be. I told him last night I could have just kept going on Torah portion and we just said good morning to y'all. All things include persecution. Really? Oh, we're reading Romans and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim. And then I make this statement, all things include persecution and suffering and difficulties. Wow, let me tell you, you're not going to shock God. You go to God and say, God, I got this difficulty. I'm having this trouble. I have this sickness and this illness. You think you're shocking God? He knew you had that before you found out. What he wants to do is he wants to know what it's going to take to get you back to him. And some people get bitter in the process. Rather than going to God and saying, God, I realize now I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. How many of your need for God comes when the spell comes? Or when a difficulty comes? Or the circumstance? What about every hour I need thee? Every hour. You ought to try that. That doesn't mean you got to be in church every hour. No. But he's got to be all that to you. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to try this. He said, but you don't know my difficulties. I don't have to know them. You think you explaining to me is going to make your difficulty better? I know somebody who wants you to tell him no. He said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. You can tell me, but I can't help you. But you tell God, because he can. How you get it to God is through his son. That song we used to sing years ago. Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. He knows. I don't know what to do, but he does. You know why? He had a perfect relationship with the Father. Everything he said was what the Father said. Everything he spoke of was what the Father spoke of. He didn't say anything else. You're not going to have philosophy coming out of the mouth of Jesus. He was not a philosopher. He spoke the words of the Father and it alone. So, All things include persecution, suffering, difficulties. The Christian sees that Yahweh causes good things to come from our suffering and trials. That's what the Christian sees. If you don't see that, you got to question whether or not what your profession is. Many, listen, we live in a society today in America that mostly profess Christianity, yet we live in a broke country. And I mean broke in many different ways. So how is that possible? Christians who are following Christ and living off of what their rabbi, their teacher says, and we're actually doing what our teacher's telling us, how is that possible? I want to tell you that it's not real just because someone professes to be a follower of Christ, yet never do what he says. If you ask, take a poll and say, well, who's a Christian? Everybody's raising a hand because I believe in God. But are you doing what he said? Are you following him? There's important principles. In James chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, James, the servant of Yahweh and of Master Yeshua Messiah. So who is the servant of first? Yahweh. And who is he? And of who? Master Yeshua Messiah. Master Yeshua Messiah, that would be in English, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we would interpret it. That's what it says in most of your Bibles. But in the manuscript, it would be Master Yeshua, that's his name, Messiah, which is Mashiach. They would have said the Mashiach, the anointed one, the one that has the anointing on him. It's important to understand the anointing carries with it the fact that God, the Father, has approved of it. You remember, he told Samuel after he rejected Saul, he said, fill your horn with oil and go down to Jesse's house. And Jesse brings out his older sons, and they are in the army. I mean, these guys are, they're big guys. They're trained, military trained. And he starts passing by them, and the Lord said, no, he's not it. Got another one? Yep, he's not it. He just went down the list. Got to the end. He said, neither one of these are the ones that the Lord said to anoint. Because remember, what's the anointing mean? The approval of God. So he said, well, you have any other? He said, I have one out in the field. He's a shepherd. He's the youngest. He said, well, go get him. As soon as David walked in. What does Yahweh say? That's him. He's the little one. He don't look like a whole bunch. But I'm going to do in him, and I'm going to promise him and make covenant with him, and it's going to be amazing. He said, of that throne, there'll be no end. So don't count yourself out. He said, man, my life's been difficult. It's been terrible. That's okay. You're here now. No matter how difficult it is. Sometimes we count ourselves out, and God's counting you in. We give up on ourselves, and God ain't giving up on us. But somebody need to tell you that. I'm here to tell you today, he ain't quitting on you. Don't give up on yourself. He said, well, it's been terrible. Listen, it don't matter how terrible it's been. We can all stand up, and we can all give testimony. We can talk about how difficult, and we can measure it and all that. And oh my, at the end of the day, we all have sinned and come short of God's glory, all of us. And what does that mean? We need a Savior. All of us need a Savior. We're never going to make it without a Savior. We need somebody we can look to. And that one is the only begotten Son of the Most High God. We have to look to Him. It's very important. And that's what makes a difference in my life. If it wouldn't be for what I know by faith. By faith, I have never, listen to me careful, I've never been there to see in person that Messiah that the Bible talks about. I never seen him in person. But I believe by faith that what the scripture says, he did for me. And let me tell you, God helped me out a little bit with my belief. Because the moment I made that confession, there was something happened on the inside of me. It's hard for me to explain it. It was almost like I felt something that became real to me. My faith got energized. And the more I kept reading, the more energized my faith got. And then I understood what the Bible meant, that you grow from faith to faith. You start out at one level of faith, but you can get to another level of faith. The Bible talks about little faith, and great faith. You can get there, but you're not going to jump from the bottom rung of the ladder to the top. You're not going to do it that way. You're going to take one step at a time. What builds your faith is the difficulty in your life. You never know you have faith until you've been in a good fight. Then you know you have faith. Because you'll hold on to God when everything else seems to be falling around you. And you say these type of statements: if I let go of God, I'm done. I'm finished. But I'm going to hold on with everything I got. When I've reached down and got all the last ounce of strength I could find in my life, I done everything I could. He said, when you've done all you can to stand, you know what he said? Stand. When you've done all you can to stand, stand. Having your loins girded about with truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. How many understand the breastplate of righteousness? He's given us information. He said, if you get all that and understand those principles, you're going to make it. How many ever felt like I'm in a tough spot? I'm in a difficult spot. Well, it doesn't matter how tough it may seem to you. You got to ask this question. Is it too hard for him? Too hard for who? Well, the one that said, let there be light. And there was light. The one who took the dust from the ground and formed man in his own image and likeness and breathed into it. And all of a sudden, what was not animated became animated and became the first human being. Is it too hard for him? Remember about the glory we give God, the honor we give him. So we're talking about this Messiah to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Verse number 2, my brethren, watch this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, the different temptations. Joy? What joy is in that? He says, count it joy. You may not feel like being joyful, but count it joy. How many of you ever had a day when you didn't feel like being jolly? You didn't want to smile. For some reason, it just felt better to frown. You was going through it. And you walk in the room and they're not going through it, and they say, happy day! You wanted to reach out and give them happy day. I'm going through it. I'm in a difficult spot. You know what he says? Count it joy. When you fall into different types of temptations, watch this. Knowing this. Now here's the key where we're getting difficult. We don't know anything. To know something, you got to be willing to be taught. You got to be willing to learn and embrace what the scripture says. Now listen, you listen to what I say today, but don't just take my word for it. You're going to look at it for yourself. And I've told you this time and time again. Don't take my word for it. I'm giving you the information. Take this information. If you can't write fast enough, they'll print it for you. Put it on a CD. It's free. Just listen to it again. Go back and look at it for yourself, and you'll find out if it's a real fact or not. Can I live by this? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Your faith has to be tried. I don't want my faith to be tried, but that's what's going to build your character. That's going to make you stronger. Your trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How many know that's the goal? We head to that goal. Well, as long as we're in this life, right here, this age, we're going to always have want. That's just what it is. You're going to want. Now, if you say, well, I'm pretty good. Really? I bet you're going to want to eat when you get home. You might be good now, but in this age, you're going to always want. But in the age to come, you'll be perfect, complete, wanting nothing. Because you'll be in his presence forever and ever and ever. But we're not there yet. So let me tell you, you're going to always have a want. You're going to always have a need. But let patience have her perfect works, because we're headed there. Our goal, we're not finished. That's why I'm telling you, you don't just get saved. Well, I went to a get saved meeting, and now I'm saved. Well, that's fine. That's the start. But he said after that, we're to grow in faith. Because the faith you have to get saved ain't going to be enough to get you through the doctor's report. Your kids in trouble and on difficulties and all sorts of addictions and struggles. That faith ain't getting you there. It got you to get through the door to recognize who Christ is. But that the enemy out there is out to assault you, to steal from you, to kill and get rid of everything you love and you care about. You got to need a different level of faith. And that level of faith is for everybody in this room. It's for you. But you got to let it do its part. So the next time you're going through something, count it joy. God's about to show me something. He's about to do something in my life that I've been needing done. So I ain't getting mad at God. Let me tell you, if you're willing to get mad at God, you're mad at everybody else in the church house, on the job site, in the schoolhouse. That's not what we're called to. Because somehow, if I keep getting mad at enough people, I'll find out whose fault it is. Not your husband's fault, not your wife's fault, not your kid's fault. The devil don't like you, never did, never will. And he's out to assault you, your family, and everybody else. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I'm come to set you free from that. It's been assault from the very beginning in the garden. He assaulted Adam and Eve, assaulted them. How many thank God he had a different plan? He brought another Adam, which called the second Adam. Paul introduced that to us in the scripture. And he said, before he came, he said, he, this is the prophecy, he won't fail. He's going to do what I asked him to do and be faithful to it. I thank him for that. Amen? Now, 1 Peter chapter number 4, we'll look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 12, says this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. How many's going through something today? How many's ever seen yourself in a difficulty? Well, let me just tell you, it's not a strange thing, and you're not the first. There's been somebody before us. Lots of people before us have been through some stuff. Difficulty. But the enemy wants you to think somehow that not only is the devil out to get you, but somehow God turned his back on you. That's what he wants you to believe. Because if he can bring any kind of doubt between the relationship you have with the Father through Christ, he is going to beat you. You don't have a chance. He said, why could you say that? Because listen, there was two perfect people. Adam and Eve were perfect. They didn't know anything about sin, and they were clothed in glory. Clothed literally in the glory, which is the Shekinah, the brightness or the brilliance of God. They were clothed. They walked with God. Two perfect people, and they were deceived. So don't kid yourself. We'll never make it outside of us following Christ. Never. You're not going to slide in, barely make it. Not going to happen. We're either going to follow Christ in the rules and regulations that's been handed down to us, and we'll make it by the grace of God. Outside of that, you don't have a chance. I don't have a chance. You got to come to that realization. The world may not come. I don't know. Maybe they'll come to it. Some people, they say, well, I don't even believe in God. Our job is to be the light of the world and salt of the earth, to convince people that there is a God. We ought to live accordingly. If we have no respect for God, then you can't expect the world to have respect for God. If you have no, you don't give God the weight he deserves. I mean, if somebody was coming to visit your house, how many has ever, when you had people coming to visit, and it was a planned visit, and you knew it was coming, before they came, you tried to straighten up a little bit. Right? You live a certain way and you're okay with it. Everybody's okay with that. But when you have visitors come, you want to say, oh, I need a straight. I want to pick some things up and clean up. Right? What about if God's coming? What do we want to do? Some people say, I don't do nothing. That's because you don't give God a lot of weight. We give people more weight than we give God. People would get all beside themselves if some superstar came in the Plaquemines Parish. They'd line up at the road trying to get a picture with them. Yet God's here every day. And that superstar, when you get a bad report from the doctor, what are they going to do for you? What are they going to do? And when the doctor tells you you're going to die, you don't need $1 million. They might be able to give you that. But I tell you what, I take the hand of God to touch my body any day before I take $1 million. So you got to understand, we got to give God the weight he deserves because he's the one that can fix it. He can make it better. He can take the thing that's in chaos and change it and turn it around. Some of you, listen, there's a testimony in every seat in this place. You've been through some things and you made it through some things. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes you got to give your testimony to yourself again and figure out, you know what? I come a long way here. Tell you, look in the mirror and say, man, you know, you were strung out. You were an addict. You were in bad shape. You lost your family, your kids, and everything. You was about to blow your brains out. But I loved you in spite of you. And I cared for you. And I took you out of that. And I changed you. And I took the heart of stone and I put flesh in it. And I loved you. I cared for you. And now you're here. You got a new family. You got a new start. Sometimes we got to tell ourselves, you know what? It's not as difficult as we think it is. God is good to us. And I believe he deserves the glory for that. That's what we're dealing with in this series. To God be the glory. We ought to give God the weight he deserves. So in Peter, he said, beloved, think not it strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But verse 13, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Messiah's suffering, of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When is his glory going to be revealed? The Bible says when Christ returns, he's going to come in great glory. So powerful that the false prophet and the Antichrist will be destroyed at his coming. Not because they have the match and the bell goes ding ding and he gets in there and they fight it out. There's no fight it out. The fact that he appears. When he appears, they won't be able to stand in that glory that's been given to Christ. That's great glory. He calls it great glory given to him. Can you imagine God's glory that's underived? The Bible says, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Messiah, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of Elohim rested upon you. Very important, rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. He is glorified. So, these are important, very important principles. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 through 18 says this. For all things are for your sakes. Notice that. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of Elohim. How important that is. Think about it. That all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of Elohim. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, notice this, the outward man is doing what? Perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Very important. So I want you to understand that we're still perishing, but the inward man should be renewed. And this is the fact that you come to Christ, and you could be wrapped up in all kinds of difficulties and iniquities. You get saved. That doesn't change the outward man perishing. We're still going to perish. Even though we have a promise, which should be the inward man, what's happening in the inward man? It's renewed day by day. That's an issue that I think is missing in the church, is we won't get renewed day by day. We get filled up. How many's ever been traveling on a long trip where you had to get fuel? And it gets down low, what do? You go pull in the gas station, and you put your card in there and get the pump out, and you fill it up. Or you can say, you know what? I don't need to fill up. We're going to make it. Well, we did that once. Me and my wife, we were going. We were in a rental van. And I said, well, this thing should get a lot of miles. We headed through the Black Hills. We went there and seen the whole thing at the Black Hills, South Dakota, and we headed to getting dark. And we had going, and all of a sudden, the little thing goes ding, ding. I went, oh, we need fuel. Charlotte says, well, I said we should have got it back there. Well, and I said, well, I know you said that, but we here. I should have listened. But what do we do now? So we going and going. I said, well, look one up. It's probably just over the hill. She said, there ain't one for a long time. I said, well, now we got to pray. We got to pray and ask God to help our stupidity. Help us, Lord. I mean, we'd really need your help. Well, I'm praying that, and Charlotte says, help him, God. He needs to listen. I'm like, why is she praying directly like that? I was using us. She was using him. Anyway, we look way up, and we can see some lights, brightness. I come over that hill, and I said, we're going to see what this van can do. I figured if I had an ounce left, I was going to get it up there. We coasted into the station. I almost thought I was going to have to get out and just help it the rest of the way. And we said right there, Lord, we will never do this again. We didn't know where we were. It was dark. We were so happy to get there. I mean happy, and we ain't never done it again. Charlotte looks like, half a tank, stop. And that's what we do in life. We'll go, 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 do our thing, do our thing, do our thing, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. Oh, I got it. I can make it. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. We can't make it. We need to fill up. We got to get more in us. I've been doing this for over 30 years. You think I'm a chance one day? You got to be kidding. I can't chance one day. Not one day can I chance not having some communication with the Father, whether it's reading my Bible, sitting on the side of my bed saying, God, thank you for another day. Whatever it is before I go to sleep, I got to communicate with him, because if you miss a day, that's the very opportunity the devil's going to take to say, yep, he don't care about you. Because that's the day you're going to be going through it. That's the day that you didn't want to do the joy clap. You didn't want to do it because you've gone through it. And this is real stuff. This is real life situation. And they really hurt. They're emotionally devastating to people. Nobody can go through that alone. You need each other. But more than each other, we need somebody that we can call on. I don't care what's happening. You can call on the Lord and He'll answer you in the darkest time of your life. He's right there. He's faithful. To call on Him is based on relationship. And you can know the Father. This is what Christ said. He says, nobody can go to the Father but by me. Nobody. So that's why we have to maintain these relationships. They're important, valuable to us. So for which cause? We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light afflictions. Now Paul, I don't know, he's an exceptional person. He really is. Because this guy has been shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten, stoned. All these things, and he says, these light afflictions. I mean, we walk outside and the tire's flat because we got an appointment at 9, right? We walk out at 8:50. And the tire's flat. And then we go, we go beside it. You know, we should have went out at 7. Check things. But we in a hurry. We got things going on. And so it's last minute. Well, guess what? You're not making your 9 o'clock if you got a flat tire. And there goes the day. And it seems like it snowballs after that. Paul's going through all these difficulties. You know what he says? These light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice it's all connected to glory. He's trying to get us somewhere. He wants to position you where you can glorify Him. When can you glorify God? It's easy to do it when things are going smooth. But when a difficulty hits and you still praise Him, that's when your neighbor sees you. Your co-worker sees you. They say, man, if I'd be going through that, I lost my mind. That's an opportunity. You say, well, the reason, you know, I wanted to lose my mind. I thought I was going to lose my mind. But man, right about when I felt like it was all over with, in comes the Messiah right beside me and says, you got this. You make it. You can make it. I promise you, you can make it. You're going to be okay. And though you lose everything, the one thing you can hold on with all your might is you have me. And He wants to know that. Listen, Abraham was in a difficult spot. He had a son with another woman called Ishmael. Yet God rejected that to be the heir that would bring in, because that was an heir of the slave, but He said, I'm going to make your heir the free. It's going to be a free woman. So then he has a son. After God promised it to him, he waited 25 years for it ever come. You know one of the things that's difficult about us? We don't want to wait for anything. Give it to me now. It's not finished yet. I said, right, I'll eat it raw. Just want it. We want everything when we want it. Sometimes you just let things. You'll get it at the right time. 25 years, he promised him, and all of a sudden he gets the promise, the son. Then what does God do? He says, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him to me. I'd consider that a difficult spot. That's a tight spot to be in. When God requires of you the one son that he promised you 25 years early, you finally get it, now you want him back? Okay, God, because that's what you want. You got to understand the relationship that Abraham had with God. You want him, he's yours. But there ain't nobody can tell me that it didn't hurt him. That he wasn't a crying man going up that mountain. But he wasn't kicking and fighting and bitter. The Bible says he put the stones in place and he laid the wood in order. He didn't throw it up there. He did everything he'd done before when he was sacrificing the lamb. Put the wood in order. And the son says, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the lamb? He said, don't worry, son. God will provide himself a lamb. You don't worry about that. He's in a tight spot. How do I get out this spot? He tied his son up, laid him on the altar. He pulled that blade out. And he said, God, this is what I know. This is what I know. You asked him, I'm giving. But he's promised. There's going to be a miracle about to happen. And I'm okay with letting you be the miracle worker. He gets that hand up in the air and he's on his way down, and the angel of the Lord, that big angel of the Lord, says, stop. Now I know. Now you trust me with everything. You say, why does God have to go that far? Because he's given a lot. He's given a lot. We ought to be count worthy to be in the kingdom of God. We ought to be found worthy, not just anybody. See, we want stuff with no cost. Although salvation is freely given to us, it costs somebody something. It costs. So we don't want to be in the mentality that people should just get stuff for nothing. And we live in a society that's built upon you can do nothing and get plenty. It's crazy. You know what it breeds? Irresponsibility. So we're irresponsible, and it's so irresponsible you can go into a church house and shoot people for no reason. It's irresponsible behavior. It is demonic. It's not God doing that. It's not somebody just kind of lost their mind. It's demonic. It's influenced by demonic influence. And the reason that the demonic influence can happen so prevalent is because the society of irresponsibility has been bred for so long. We should never teach our children they could get something for not doing anything. That's crazy. If you don't do it, you're not getting it, period. Until they whine. You're either going to love to hear whining or you know how to stop the whine button. You understand? And that's where we are as a society. My preference was turn the whine button off. Because I don't like whining. And it works. But you get because you did something. We live in society. People, you know, they play sports. And the losers got to get a trophy because we don't want anybody offended. Go keep doing that. We're going to see what's going to happen. It's crazy thinking. You win. Because you worked harder and you put the effort in. It doesn't mean that the others didn't work. But they didn't work as hard. They didn't work as hard. And they'll learn through that lesson. You'd be shocked how much you learn when you lose something every now and then. I've lost some things and you've lost some things. You'd be shocked what you can learn. And so we think we can only learn when we win. God said, count it all joy. When you lose and when you win. Because I'm doing something in you. Some people, they needed to lose to get where they're going. Some people, the win made it better for them. At the end, they both got where they were going. You understand? But you know what? We get in our mind that we shouldn't be the loser, so we reject what God puts in front of us. Give me your son. I don't want to do that. I shouldn't have to do that. I'm Abraham. You do it because I asked you. Now I know. That's what he said. Now I know you love me. He took that? Wow. What have you done that God now knows you love him? What do we have to do? Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. How many thank God for that? The glory of Elohim should be the goal for all that we do and stand in the standard by which we determine what we should do or should not do. It should be based on the glory of Elohim. What I'm involved in, what I'm not involved in. Determine that. Is it going to give God glory or is it going to bring a bad reputation on God? That should be determined based on that. Finally, this is the final part. I won't finish it. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen today. But we'll go fast as we can, but we won't finish it. Finally, the glory of Elohim is the key to understanding Elohim's order in the church. We should recognize that the church is central to Elohim's purpose in this age, just as Israel was in the Old Testament, and that it will be again. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 11. So the 11th chapter of Romans. Wow, that's all I can say. It's got so many wonderful points in it. We'll go through it. We'll pull out some of them. We won't be able to cover them all, but we'll do as much as we can. Verse number 1, Romans 11. He says, I say then, hath Elohim cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now this is Paul making his address to the church at Corinth. He's giving them this, his letter to the Romans, and he's telling them this. It's very important. He says, Elohim had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not that Scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, and this is what he said, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone to seek my life, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? So here's Elijah, he's in a terrible spot. Elijah says, man, there's nobody here but me. It's me, God. I'm by myself. Everybody else is bailed on you. This is what Elohim says. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Just remember that. He said, I have reserved 7,000 hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Remember that. A remnant according to the election of grace. That's so powerful. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. Think about that. And we ought to relate to some of these things, because there was a time that we were blinded. We were blinded. Verse 8, according as it is written, Elohim had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentile for to provoke them to jealousy. Now we see, because this is a letter to Rome, and the Christianity comes on the scene, and we have the Roman Empire is heavily influenced by Greek doctrine and philosophy, and now we have in this flowing of opposite directions. Christ says go this way. The philosophy says go this way. And so what they did to make everybody happy, they merged the both of them together and started going down this path. Paul says, okay, here's the deal. And he laid it out. So this is why the word went forth to the Gentiles, which was scattered abroad. Now this is dealing with the 12 tribes of Israel, which is scattered and all over the place, the northern tribes. So watch what he says in verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So Paul's trying to get them to relate and see what he's talking about. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, those he's dealing with directly, he's teaching them, and might save some of them. Now watch this, verse 15, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Why? Unbelief. And thou standest by faith. Do we have to have faith? Absolutely. Without faith you can't please God. But be not high-minded. What does he say? But fear. Remember, we're dealing with God's glory. What does he mean, fear? It means having a reverential respect. The word again, given the respect that one deserves. Respect God. For if Elohim spare not the natural branches... Remember that. The natural branches, take heed lest also at least he also spare not thee. If you grafted in, you don't. It's not like, okay, I'm grafted now, I'm special. Well, we're special, but you're not that special. I'm understanding that. If he broke off the natural branch, if we act the same way the natural branch acted, he's going to break off the one that's just been grafted in. We can't say, well, I should get more privilege. Just the fact that the wild tree got grafted in, I consider that a privilege and an honor. Don't exceed that. To think, well, I can do what they did and I'm not going to be chastised for it. We will. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim on them which fell, severity but toward thee, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. What is the key there? Continue in the goodness. Continue in the goodness. How many know that the goodness represents part of the glory of God? Moses says, show me your glory. He said, I'll cause my goodness to pass by. When we start thinking about, when I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, when I think about the Lord and how he set me free, goodness. Think about it. When you think about the goodness of God. If thou, hopefully we'll see those principles. And they also, if they abide still not in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. That's important because we have a God who, regardless of our rejecting of him, if we'll recognize our rejection. How many remember the prodigal son story in the scripture? Who's ever read the prodigal son story in the Bible? Well, a prodigal son represents the northern tribes of Israel. The son that stayed is the southern tribe. That's what they represent. If you read that story, you wonder why that story came out the way it did. There's a reason behind it. The son that left is the northern tribes. The son that stayed is the southern tribes. They stayed. 10 went, 2 stayed. Well, just because you stayed, you still got to obey the father's regulation and rules, even though he brings back the son, the northern tribes, he brings them back, and he gives them the ring, the shoes, the robe, and the son that stayed, I didn't even leave. Why are you making a big old to-do for him? He left. You understand? You know what he said? Hey, listen. You was here the whole time. The whole time you've been with me. Now you're all beside yourself because I'm welcoming back the one who left. It's called grace. You ought to be happy. We ought to all be happy when somebody that we know has been struggling with something and the Lord brings them back. You ought to say, finally? That's not our attitude. What are you talking about? We should be happy. Should be saying, God, you're so amazing. It should double up on you that you should say, you know what? God is so good. So amazing. He's so incredible. And that's some of the things that I think we have to, when we do that, we're showing the glory of God. We're giving God the glory he deserves because that's the God we serve. Amen? Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you would be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So the blindness is in part. It's in part. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the wickedness from Jacob. The wickedness from Jacob. Again, that all ties back into the Torah portion that we've been going over. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Notice what he says. Verse 28. As concerning the good news, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Notice that. So watch what you say in as far as a fashion of judging what's going on in anybody's life. I'm going to read it again. As concerning good news, they are the enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Jacob I love, Esau I've hated. Isaac loved Esau. Remember. That's very important. He loved Esau. And sometimes we don't get our mind wrapped around that statement. Isaac loved Esau. And it's the difference. And if you would see, I went over that in one of the two portions, that you got to understand that that's not the hate we think of. It's more the preference in deciding which one I can use to ultimately bring about the purpose and plan of God in the end. It's not a rejection. It's a preference over. Did Isaac hate Jacob? No, but he loved Esau. Didn't sin. So keep that in mind, because sometimes we lose that. For the gift and calling of Elohim are without repentance. Let me see that. Gifts and callings of Elohim are without repentance. So we ought to accept the path that's been laid out before us and do it by faith accordingly as God has promised. Verse 30, for as in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. And so there was a time you believed, a time that somebody came early, somebody came much later. Somebody came and left, and somebody returned. How many know that's the scenario that happens? What's your position? You keep doing what God told you to do. We shouldn't wax and wail over the fact that somebody's done something. We got to keep our eyes based on what God has for us. You might be next. Under whatever trial. What are you going to do? Count it all joy. Think about it. Verse 32. For Elohim had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. I thank him for that. Verse 33. Oh, the depths and riches both of wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of Yahweh? Who had known the mind of Yahweh? Or who had been his counselor? How many believe that you have enough faith in God that you're okay with just letting God be God? Let him do it. I'm just going to trust him. Thank God where you are and that you'll walk with him right now. What's your goal? Day by day, learning more about God. Day by day. I thank God for today. But sometimes we just think about church or serving God on that day, like Sunday. There's nothing to do with Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It's every day. This is the day we just come together. That's all it is. A day everybody collectively come together. We sing songs, worship Him, hear the Word. But this is not the only Word. My Word is not the only Word. You have a Bible. You take your Bible. It's yours, personal. This is God speaking to you. In your own personal way. And you just open it up. You're having your coffee in the morning. If you don't have anything to hurry up to, if you do, you get up earlier. Get up earlier. The reason I say that, and I don't say, well, you just don't know. Listen, I'm as busy as everybody else. You get up earlier. That's what you do. You get up. If I know I'm wanting to do something I'd read that night before, and I wanted to finish a chapter, whatever it is, I get up. I get up early because I know once I get going, I got to focus on what I'm doing. I got people paying me to do what my job is, and I'm going to do that job. But when I get a moment, I'm going to take that moment. How many got to drive to work? Let me see your hand if you ever got to drive to work. There's your moment. You can listen to so-and-so on the radio, hear two or three jokes, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to pop something in here, and I'm going to listen to the Word of God. That's your moment. If you drove to work, you got to drive from work. There's another moment. So you got in the day, you got moments. Maybe you got a. How many get a lunch break? Anybody gets lunch break on your job? We don't get a lunch break on our job. You just whatever it comes, you just eat. But if you get who gets a lunch break on your job? What they give? I don't even know what they give anymore. They give an hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is. So, right, you get your box out, you get your lunch bag, you unroll it, and everybody's sitting around doing it. Maybe you're in a break room or whatever it is. Maybe you're just sitting around on a barge, work barge, on a boat. And you're getting your sandwich out, you're getting your stuff, and you got a smartphone, whatever it is. You get that smartphone, you open it up, and you mash play. And it goes, in the beginning, God created that. And your neighbor's going to go, what's that? Well, I'm listening to that. You know, I'm eating right now. I'm going to just listen. I got 30 minutes. 30 minutes, I'm just Then the conversation starts. You hit pause. And you say, well, the reason I'm doing it is because I want to grow in my relationship with God. I'm a believer, but I'm not there yet. I got somewhere I want to go in this relationship. And I want to make sure. And then you just talk. It's so easy. So take those opportunities because they're important. They're valuable to you. So when he says these things, oh, the depths of his riches, who had known the mind of Yahweh, who had been his counselors? Watch this verse, last verse. Or who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Verse 36. For of him, through him, to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, let me tell you, that's powerful. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That is powerful. So, let me give you these verses. I won't be going over, but you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. 1 Those are the rest of the verses. We won't cover them today. I believe I've given you enough. You can look at those and study them on your own. I hope that today has challenged you. I hope today has given you some information and set your mind to know that you can. Don't believe what the devil said. He ain't nothing but a liar. And you say, well, he never said it directly to me. She did. Well, he used her. He did. Well, he used him. Same difference. If it ain't what God said, it's opposing God's word over you. What's God's word over you? You can. You can. You can do what God's asked you to do. Be the person God's designed you to be. He didn't create no failures. He's not in the business of creating flops and failures. He's here to give you power and strength to accomplish the goal that's been set before you. And he'll give you that strength. He doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't look at my life and view my life as something special over somebody else. I'm no different than anybody here. I'm nothing special that makes you feel like you're not special. We're all equal and the same in the sight of God. And we all need a Savior. Every one of us. We need him. What I challenge myself to do is that I have a day-by-day experience with the Father. I can have that experience through with Christ. His only begotten Son paid for on my behalf. I didn't pay for it. He paid for it. I don't know about you, but when I'm dealing with something that somebody else paid for, one thing my dad taught me, when you're dealing with somebody else's stuff, you treat it better than your stuff. Don't bring it back dirty. Don't bring it back broke. You treat it well because they worked hard for that. You remember that. My dad ran boats when he was younger, he cleaned those boats, but he also cleaned his boat, kept it nice and kept up maintenance. Well, you're not always broke down. It don't matter how good you maintain, sometimes you're going to break down. But that's just part of counting it joy when you go through something. But if you didn't do anything, no wonder you can't count it joy, because the first thing you say, man, I should have. I should have checked that. See? And I remember being taught that as a young man. You used it. If you break it, you fix it. Don't bring it back broke. It wasn't broke when you picked it up. You fix it. That's what you did. I remember one time I was headed down the road. My dad always would tell me, so you got to check stuff. Check stuff. Well, you get wide open. How many ever been wide open? I had an old beat up truck. And the latch on the trailer didn't have no thing on it. So I tied it with rope because I wanted to go trawling. It was opening day. Opening day of trawling season. And Dad's saying, man, you ain't ready. You're not ready. The boat, look at the boat. It ain't ready. I'm ready. I wrapped it up with some rope and I went on down the road. I got close to the village. Somebody was with me and said, what's that on the side of you? I said, oh, man, it's the boat. The boat was right there. I went, go. So what I did, I hit the brakes and kind of turned it. I shouldn't have done that. I sent that thing right into somebody's van. Just stuck the tongue right inside the van, a big old hole like that. You know what you did? The first thing popped in my mind, I ain't getting out of this. Finally, we pulled it and got the tongue out, and the man come out. He looked at that thing, he went, oh boy. So I had to go over there and negotiate with him. The van was on blocks. So the first thing came to my mind, that's a piece of junk anyway. But it was his junk. That kept racing in my mind. If I go to my dad, don't come to me. It's a man's junk, and that's his pride and joy. He had it on blocks to show everybody. So I asked him what he want. You know what? There was no negotiation. I gave him to fix. He never fixed that. They towed it to the dump, but he had them hundreds. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I did that, and it cost me. I learned a lesson. I learned a lot of lessons in that. Latch your tongue. And I needed to latch more than the tongue on that trailer many times. But you learn those things. So listen, just remember, God's not against us. He's for us. You're going to have life lessons. They're going to come and go. But you got to grow day by day. Can you make it? Can anybody in this building make it and be successful serving God? Absolutely. You could be successful day by day. Let's stand together. Well, I want to say I appreciate you for being here, all of you. I thank God for you. I thank God that you was willing to come this morning and listen to the word. I pray the words went forth and it's challenged you. I pray that you're going home thinking about things. You've been challenged. God, I believe the word has been structured in such a way that God can personalize the word. It'll go forth. And you don't mean this. You just say what God asks you to say. And it gets way personalized. It starts to touch home where you start feeling it. It starts ministering in your life. Well, my prayer is this, that you would allow the word that went forth today to sink on good ground. Let it be a seed. That's all it is. I didn't plant trees. I just sowed seed. I scattered seed. It's going to take some time. You got to be patient. The seed takes time, but it's going to grow. And as it grows day by day, it's going to do things in your life. And that's how you have to receive it. I know all of us want to just have it done today. We go home and it's all going to be magically better. But it doesn't happen that way. If I told you that, I wouldn't be being honest with you. You set yourself up for even more failure. Get encouraged. Get lifted up. And all, just to be let down. But the seed got scattered. And if the seed went on good ground, what is good ground? Well, good ground is not my responsibility. Good ground is the way you receive. Receiving is an act of your own will. You got to reach out, grab hold to it, and you got to pull it in. You have the power to receive. Everybody in here, I can tell you, your receiver is not broken. You've received negative. You've received all kind of negative ideas about you and about your life, even some you tell yourself. I was here to tell you about the positive things that God has in store for you. You can receive them the same way. Reach out, grab hold to it, pull it in. It's yours. Belongs to you. It's God's word to you. It's what he said about you. Every person in here. There's not a person standing in this room that can't be successful and have an amazing life serving God. Not one of you. It don't matter if I know your story. What matters, I know who God is and what God can do. He can take it broken. He can take it. Listen, he'll go into the toughest and most loneliest places in life. I've seen him do it time and time again and take the broken and restore their life. He'll do it over and over again. He's done it many times. Well, this place is no different. He loves Plaquemines Parish. He loves the people of this parish. And God's shown us that time and time again. When it was all destroyed, the people came back. Was able to do what we do today. Thank God for people's resilience and their willingness to do what God's asked them to do. Well, he didn't just build us up to let us down. He'll fix everything you got going on in your life if you'll trust him. Put your faith in God. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to pray that the seed that was sown will be on good ground and to bring forth fruit in its time. The time necessary for it to come forth, it'll come forth. You got to trust that. You got to have faith. If you're in here and never planted a seed, you got faith. You put that seed in the ground, you left. You came back next day, you look, it wasn't a tree yet. It's still, but you believe and it's going to happen. You come back a week later and it's like, oh boy, something just happened. That's an excitement. It broke the ground. Another week, that thing done sprung up a little bit. Now you're happy. You got your watering on now. You good. And man, that thing starts to grow. You start thinking about fruit now. You thinking fruit is coming. And all of a sudden, a flower pops out. And you go, oh my, I got a flower. You call in your neighbor. Man, the flowers on mine already. They on yours? Yeah, they on. And all of a sudden, that flower that was so pretty and looked so good, it fell. The flower fell. The petals come off. But you can start to see the fruit. Sometimes you got to lose your flower in order for the fruit to come. That's okay. It almost looks like a setback. But if you've been there and planted before, you know that it's time is coming. And then eventually you get fruit. And you can partake of what you did. That's what God's process is. He talks about it throughout the Word. It's seed. He said the sower went out and sowed seed. What is the seed? The seed is the Word. Who's the sower? It's God. He sows the seed. On God's behalf, I'm just the spokesman. I don't matter what I think today. What I think doesn't matter. I give you the Word of God. I read the Scripture to you. Take that Scripture. Let it bring forth fruit in your life. Amen? Father, I thank you today for every person that's here. God, you knew our lives before we could plant it ourselves. You saw this day. And I want to thank you for it. You prepped us. You encouraged us. You wooed us. You pushed us. And then we found ourselves sitting in this place today. And for that, we give you the glory. We thank you for it. So many other things we could have done, other places we could have been, but for some reason you saw fit to work out every detail and structure of our life to have us sitting right here. And for that, we honor you. So I ask you, Lord, with that being known, that the seed that went forth in the Word will be on good ground and it will bring forth fruit in our lives. And for days ahead, weeks ahead, months ahead, even years ahead from now, we're going to experience and feed off of what was sown today. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm asking you especially, this special, I'm asking you, Lord, for protection, for hedges to be built, for being protected, Lord. That Word cannot be touched, infringed upon, robbed, stolen, choked up. None of that can happen. Lord, I ask you to protect the Word that was sown today. And God, every person in here will begin to live out the purpose and the plan that you have for their life. I thank you for that. And I ask you, Lord, as we go from this place, but not from your presence, that you would be with us everywhere we go. That we could feel your presence. I pray for encouragement to come to every person that's here. God, we ask you, Lord, if there's anything we've ever done in our life, Lord, that you were displeased with and we never brought it forth. We didn't say it. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us today. God, we don't want to walk contrary to your Word. We don't want to walk opposition of you. We want to go the way you want us to. Forgive us. We want to walk in the newness of life. We accept what Christ has done for us. He paid the price in full, and he gives us access to you, the only true God. John 17:3, this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. We thank you for that. And to God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Let's remember to pray for one another. Let's not forget the announcements. This week's Bible studies will be in the homes that were announced this morning. If you want to attend those Bible studies, pick one of those homes. We'll have Bible study there. And also remember, on Saturday evenings, we have tour portions. They're incredible. We're going right through them again. So if you want to be in the tour portion on Saturday evenings, that'll be here at 6:30. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.